Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Travis, for inviting me to preach. I'm honored. I thought Pastor Robert might be here tonight. I had a message that I had looked back on that Pastor Robert had preached. It was actually back in 2016. I saw it in one of my notebooks, and I was reminded of these words. He said, "Don't judge the word. Let the word judge you." And I've thought of that several times since then, but I didn't remember that it was him that had said it. But I saw it in my notes, and I thought, wow, that's so good. It really spoke to me, and I've thought of it many times since he preached it. It was derived from Hebrews 4:12, the last part of the verse. And it says, "The word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." But in the Passion Translation, which you all know I had to go to, it says, "The word interprets and reveals the true thoughts and the secret motives of our hearts." And so tonight, my hope is that we will not judge the word and try to make it fit into our box, but rather allow the word to judge us. Amen. That we will be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through the word, and that it will reveal our true thoughts and the secret motives that are hiding in our hearts, because they're there. I can say that because this last year, God revealed and brought to light some secret places, some secret things hidden in my heart. It's truly brought me to a new level of trust in God. And I'm not saying there's not room for more improvement, but I'm saying I am going forward. Hallelujah. So let's go to Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. And I'm going to read it in the ESV version. It says, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land." But verse 7 starts with, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." So tonight's message is titled, "Where's Your Trust?" We're all familiar with verse 7 and 8 because we want to focus on the blessed part. We want to focus on how we trust in the Lord and we're going to be blessed for it. But we don't really focus on the first part of that verse, verses 5 and 6, where it says you are cursed if you put your trust in man. And many times we don't think that we're putting our trust in man when we are. Who's put your trust in a man? I mean, if you think about it, like a parent, a child, a friend, a pastor, a teacher, how about a doctor? Who's put your trust in a doctor? A financial advisor. It's easy to put your trust in things like that. It's not wrong to trust a person. I'm not saying that, and don't misconstrue what I'm saying. But if you put your trust in that, your ultimate trust should be in God alone. You may be like me and say, "Well, that's not me. I mean, I trust in people, but my real trust is in God." I was proven wrong. Let's go to Isaiah 31:1. It says in Isaiah 31, verse 1, it says, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord." So we talk about putting our trust in people. Well, what about putting our trust in something physical? Maybe it's not horses and chariots, but what about bank accounts or a business or the stock market because you heard it was going to be a certain way? What about in a diet? I mean, how many trust in the newest fad of diets that comes around instead of seeking God and trying to find out what God has for you? How many of us trust in that? What about a particular medicine? You know, I've heard people say, well, there's just no hope for me because they have this new cancer drug out and I can't get it because I don't have the money. You know, that's putting your trust in that medicine. What about a mask? I'm not saying a mask is bad. Please don't misinterpret that either. I'm saying that if you put your trust in the mask instead of in God, you know, you do what you feel you need to do to stay safe. But if you're putting your trust in that mask and not in God, then your trust is not in God. We see in John 2, verses 24 and 25, that Jesus didn't trust in man because he knew man's nature. In the New Life Version, I think it says it best. It says, but Jesus did not trust them because he knew all men. He did not need anyone to tell him about man. He knew what was in man. We know what's in man too. I mean, not to the extent that God does, but we know what's in man and we still put our trust there. Yep. For me personally, I believed in my heart that I trusted in God alone. Notice that's past tense, right? I fed on the word, I spoke the word, I preached the word, I meditated on the word, I truly believed my trust was in God. I almost always have peace and a joyful countenance about situations and circumstances. Most always I can see the good in something. And so to me, I'm like, I'm just filled with God, you know, I'm just pretty good here. And so, well, I'm not entirely sure why God has been prompting me to share personal situations this last year, but y'all notice he teaches me so much in the things that I do, like stomping blueberries that I think are spiders and, you know, goofy things like that. But he also teaches me in big things, and I suppose it's because our personal stories is our testimony. And when we tell a personal story, it's a testimony to someone else to stand strong in the face of trial and devastation. So, it's not always easy, but God is greater. He's greater. So most of y'all don't know this, but about this time last year, it was revealed to me through a series of events and many months that my trust was not completely in God. My daughter, who is now 28 years old, had been involved with drugs for quite some time. And in August of last year, she was wanted by the police, and they couldn't find her. So for 3 months, she was on the run. And for 3 months, I didn't know if she was alive or dead. I didn't know, you know, from one day to the next, you know, if I would hear from her. She would reach out to me on Facebook Messenger every once in a while, and she would say, all she would say is, Mom, I'm okay, I love you. And that was it. I didn't know where she was at, didn't know what she was doing. I didn't know, you know, if the police were going to, you know, you have all those thoughts come through your mind. Are the police going to show up at my door? Did she overdose? I mean, is this what's going to happen, you know, and the enemy will just attack you with all that stuff. But anyway, each day of those 3 months, I would pray God would heal her. I pled the blood of Jesus over her for protection. I prayed that she would be like the prodigal son and come to her senses. I broke the curse of addiction off of her. I sent workers into her path that would minister to her. I claimed Psalms 91 over her, that God would satisfy her with a long life and show her his salvation. And I stood strong in the word, even more, you know, more words. I would stand strong in the word, and I just believed that my trust was in God. But I would also pray, God, please let them get her safely into jail so she can detox and so that she can't have access to that. And I know that sounds awful, but man, to me, it was a good solution. Because this is the way I thought. It's what I thought would fix her. It's what I thought in my mind. And I was trusting God to make that happen, what I thought. Anyway, so it was the 1st of November, and so this was gone on for 3 months. The 1st of November, they finally found her in a house. They surrounded the house. They cornered her and, I mean, just crazy stuff. Took her to jail, placed her on a warrant, put her in jail. And so I was so relieved at first. I was like, yes, Lord, thank you, you know. thank you, she's safe, you know, and I was so excited about that. And but then I thought, well, what if somebody gets her out? And so, you know, I was justified in trusting God directed in this by going to all of the bail bondsmen's and saying, don't get her out. If she calls, you can't get her out. I'm telling you not to get her out. You'll never get paid, you know. And so I was doing everything I could to keep her in jail, right, because that's where, to me, she was safe. And so, but then, and you know, that was derived from fear. And I don't know if y'all, well, it's a lack of trust. It's fear and a lack of trust in God, that God's not big enough to handle that situation. And so, was I trusting in horses and chariots? Oh yeah, the jail was my horse and chariot. It was definitely my horse and chariot. Anyway, so the 1st of January came along, and man, I got so distraught because somebody bailed her out. And here we went again. I got to see her the first day, but after that, here we go again. Facebook Messenger. I'm okay, Mom. I love you. And, I mean, I'm so thankful for that. Don't get me wrong, but still, there's a lot of torment that goes along with that. But anyway, in a little while, two or three weeks, she ended up getting arrested it was 2 or 3 weeks later, racking up another felony for drug possession. And this time, I was a happy mama again. Oh, she's going back to jail. She's safe, you know. And I was pretty excited about that. But the long story is, I'm going to go past that. When she got to jail, when I finally got to go see her for the visitation time, I got there and it took a really long time for her to get out into the room. It's you don't get to touch them or anything. It's just a wall with glass. And so it took her a really long time to get in there. And when she got in there, I was like, what took so long? I mean, did you not want to see me? Or, you know, what happened? What took so long? And she said, no, I've been in a holding cell in restraints since the day after I got here. And that's why it took so long, is because they had to get me undone to bring me in there. And I questioned why, thinking that she had maybe gotten a fight, which was common for her. But she said, didn't they call you? And I said, no, why? And she said, well, I asked them to call you, Mom. She said, I'm on suicide watch. I tried to kill myself and the guard found me. I won't go into the details of that, but I had never seen her in such a deep state of depression, never that bad. Anyway, I finished the visit, but I was devastated. I mean, devastated. When I left, I asked the guard why they had not called me like she asked them to. And he said, well, we just don't do that. And so after further conversation with him, I lost every bit of confidence that I had had in them protecting my daughter. And so in that moment, in my moment of great faith, these words came out of my mouth. You know, the one who trusts God, I'm trusting God. I said to this officer with tears in my eyes, I said, man, I was so happy that you guys had picked her up, because at least I knew she was safe and that she'd be alive. And now I don't even have that. And I turned around and walked out, and I was just devastated. Excuse me, did y'all see any part of faith in that? Any trust in God in that statement? Like, there was no, my trust was not in God. Even though I thought it was, my trust was not in God. I left that day feeling helpless, hopeless, and in total despair. I had an hour and 20-minute drive home to think on those words that I said to that police officer. In those moments of anger, in those moments while I was there, anger had built up in me. And you know the truth about anger is that it's derived from fear. Fear causes anger. And so how many of you know that fear is opposite of faith? And so if we're standing strong on the word, do we stand strong in the face of adversity? When we get a bad report, when we see something, when we experience something, where's our faith then, right? Well, fear rose up in me that Savannah would accomplish her desire. Fear that the jailers wouldn't watch her close enough to make sure she didn't, because I was not assured of that by a man. I was mad that my expectation of her being safe in jail was stolen. It just wasn't true. I was even mad that God didn't reveal to me what had happened. Now, isn't that something? Remember Hebrews 4:12? It said, the word reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of your heart. That day, I had some true thoughts and secret motives revealed in my heart. I had the question, or should I say fear, would the word hold true? Would the word hold true? How many of you, even this week, have wondered that? Have you wondered, would the word hold true for me? Would it hold true for my situation, my circumstance? In my despair, I cried out to God, and I said, Lord, you said the Holy Spirit would tell me all things and reveal things to me, so why did you not tell me this? And the Lord said, ever so gently, you weren't seeking me about her safety. You were confident in the jail that they would keep her safe. The word says that those who seek will find, and those who knock, the door will be opened, and those who ask, it will be given to them. God was right. I wasn't asking him. I wasn't seeking him about her safety once she was in custody. I was so relieved in my idea that she would be safe there that I didn't even pray about that going forward. That wasn't even something I prayed. I mean, I still prayed for her to be healed and restored and come to her senses, but I didn't pray that she'd be safe because I felt that she was safe there. I just trusted the jail that they would do it. Psalms 119:160 in the Passion says, the sum total of all your words adds up to absolute truth, and every one of your righteous decrees is everlasting. His word is absolute truth.
That's right.
His word. Right. Not what you see, not what you're experiencing, but his word. The words that Pastor Robert spoke about, don't judge the word, let the word judge you. Listen, the word judged me pretty good that day and going forward. Is the word judging you right now? Are you thinking of situations that you've been in, past or current, to where you were putting your trust in someone or something besides God? I had a choice that day, and y'all have a choice too. I could have continued to bow down to fear and live in torment, or I could get in the word and gird myself up to faith, in faith, to trust God, the one who holds the universe together, our God, the one who knows the beginning from the end, our God, the one who wrote my daughter's story in his book before she was even born. Is he not able? Is he not? So good. Do I trust he has a good plan? Do I trust his word that he will satisfy her with a long life and show her salvation? Yes, I do. The second part of Hebrews 13:5 in the Amplified says, Hebrews 13:5, it says, God himself has said, not someone else, not the jailer, not your situation, not someone telling you, the doctor, or anyone else, but God himself said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Isn't that so good? I'm reminded in Psalms 9, verse 10, about, it says, those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Who knows God's name? I mean, we know his name. We know he's Lord. But who knows God's name? Who knows the vastness of it? I mean, we could stay in the Bible every day of the year and learn something new about God, right? He's our advocate, our shepherd, our Lord, our rock, our healer, our deliverer. He's the Almighty God, the faithful one, the one true God. He's our Redeemer. He's our peace in the midst of circumstances. He's our peace. He's our comforter, our protector. He's our strength and our life. Man, he's so many things. And if we know his name, if we know his name, not think we know it, not think we're trusting in him, but we know his name and who he is, that sets us high above every principality, every power, every darkness in this world. I believe that day in my heart, if my heart had been securely filled with a revelation of who God is, those words would have never come out of my mouth. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I'm telling you, I'm in the Word. I was in the Word. You can be in the Word and not know the Word. Even though you think you know it, you want to know it. There's so much more. It's so much more. My mouth was filled with fear and not faith. Are you speaking despair? Are you speaking despair out of your mouth? It's out of our mouth the abundance of the heart speaks. And what we feed on, what we meditate on, that's what's getting into our heart. You know, I had to repent. I really did. I had to repent. And I had to get before God and renew my trust in the one true God. I'm not saying that those thoughts and those feelings weren't present. I'm not saying that if you're trusting God that those things aren't going to come against you, because they will. But if your heart is filled with trust, you will counter those thoughts with the Word of God. You'll counter those situations that are forced in your face, that are surprises. You'll counter those with the Word of God. I should have immediately confessed the very word that I had been speaking just days before. Psalms 91, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. In my God, I will trust. But I didn't, and so I'm learning. My daughter's still in jail, and she's awaiting her sentence. And the days are not always easy, and I'm not saying that I don't have emotion about it. I'm not saying it's not without emotion. But I am saying that when I feel sad and grieved, and when it comes upon me that way, I go straight to the Word. Because the Word will sustain you. He will get you through. The Word will get you through. Jesus came. The Word came in the flesh for us. Not just for us to read, but for us to live. I mean, actually live the Word. You know, I'm standing on the uncompromising Word of God now that my daughter is healed, delivered, and restored to wholeness. I'm standing on God's promise that he will fulfill his plan and purpose for Savannah, according to Psalms 138:8. People may fail you. Circumstances may take you by surprise. Things may disappoint you. Medications or treatment centers, you know, those things may fail you too. So all kinds of things that we can have in this life that's going to fail us. And so we have to stand on the one thing that will never fail us, and that's the Word of God. You got to hold on to that one thing and stay stable and fixed on Jesus. This last scripture I want to share is so, so powerful. It's in the Passion Translation that I'm going to share it. It's Psalms 18, verse 2. If we can get this scripture, if we can memorize it, get it in our heart, this will hold you through so much. Listen to this. It says, "You're as real to me as bedrock beneath my feet. Like a castle on a cliff, my forever firm fortress. My mountain of hiding, my pathway of escape. My tower of rescue where none can reach me. My secret strength and shield around me. You are my salvation's ray of brightness shining on the hillside. Always the champion of my cause." Isn't that so good? I mean, he's our mountain of hiding. My goodness. You're in despair? Get in your mountain of hiding. Go to the mountain. The pathway of escape. Tower of rescue. Firm fortress. Forever firm fortress. Isn't that so good? I love that. My favorite part of this verse, though, is my secret strength. You know, when people see you and you're not reacting to situations, you're not fallen apart at everything that happens. You're not running in fear. You're not confessing bad things. That's your secret strength. It's rising up inside of you. People might not understand it. They might say, well, they just don't care because they're not just a ball bag or, you know, throwing a fit. They just don't care. And it's not necessarily so. If you have that secret strength, then you don't have to have all those reactions. And I'm not saying it's wrong to cry. I'm not saying that. You can have emotions. I'm just saying God can be your strength. Glory to God. We got to get this in us, truly in our hearts. So how about y'all? Where's your trust? Where's your trust? What have you faced this week? What have you faced this day? Where have you put your trust? Who's encouraged to put your trust in the Lord? Yeah. I don't know everyone in here, but I just want to say that if your trust is not in the Lord, you say, man, I want my trust to be in the Lord. I want to introduce you to our Savior. So if you want Jesus in your heart, you want to be able to have him to trust in, to seek him, you come forward. We want to pray with you. And I want y'all to remember Pastor Robert's charge. Don't judge the word. Let the word judge you. Because maybe you've listened to this, and maybe you've realized, maybe you've been, you're allowing the word to judge you. Maybe you've realized that you've compromised your trust. Maybe you need to repent and start again. I truly believe that God's ready to move in some lives. And I think he's saying tonight, I believe the whole purpose of this message was because he wants to say tonight that if you've had your trust somewhere else, I want you to put it back on me because I want to answer your prayer. I want it to come forth. And so you guys just stand. And anyone that feels like you need prayer, you want to reinstate your trust in God. You want to establish it. You want to get it off those other things. And you need someone to pray with you. You just come forward. We want to pray with you. We want to stand strong in the faith with our God.
You know, I believe there's an anointing here tonight for those of you that are believing God for your children. I sense that by the Spirit of God, those of you that are believing that you're just, that minister to you tonight, that I'm putting my trust in systems, I'm putting my trust in different things. And I'll tell you this today, Brandy called me. Our son Anson, she went to the doctor with him today, and she called and said they want to do another test. And you know, there is nothing wrong with my son. Amen? There's nothing wrong with my son. But isn't it amazing how the enemy tries to already put something inside of your head? And you know what? I shared this in prayer this morning. There's a difference in the words of affirmation and the works of confirmation. I could say, you know what, I could say with all, I mean, I believe with my mouth, I can talk myself into something. When anxiety rises up, it's like a check engine light. Right? It's a check engine light. That's how I treat it. It's not that I was anxious and shaking or anything like that, but when the enemy tries to come at me, it's like a check engine light. And I'm not going to keep running the car with the check engine light. I'm going to stop and get it fixed. Amen? Pastor said this at camp meeting, the level of the kingdom is determined by the word that's on the inside of you. And that is not determined by the reading, it's determined by the revelation. And see, I said, Lord, I got a revelation right there. God, you get, my son Anson is a miracle. He's a miracle. We believe God, we prayed, we fasted for him, and God gave us Anson Travis Bennett. And I said, Lord, if you gave me to me, he's healed. I said, you know what, Lord? Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen? And then I started praying in the Holy Ghost. Listen, if you don't know how to pray in the Holy Ghost, you come up tonight. And I'm telling you, you can cast all your care on him, for he cares for you in the blink of an eye. But I believe there's an anointing here tonight for moms and for dads. If that's you tonight, I want you to come forward. I want to believe God with you. I want to pray with you. Come on, we want to pray with you. Amen. I know there's moms and dads in here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I believe there's one more. There may be two more. You might fight the system all you want to, but I believe there's an anointing here tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Pastor Michelle, I want you to lay hands on these people. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, reach your hands out towards these right now. Lord, I pray for these moms. I pray for their dad, for these dads. Lord, we lift up these sons and these daughters to you. Lord, tonight, as we heard tonight, we don't put our trust in chariots, but we put our trust in the Aleph and the Toph. Oh, the beginning and the end. Lord, when they hit this ground, these sons and these daughters, they hit this ground, Lord, you were with them then, and Lord, we pray that you would be with them now. Lord, I pray for these children and these sons and daughters that have word on the inside of them. And so, Lord, I thank you, your word doesn't return void, but it accomplishes what it's meant and it's sent to do. And so, Lord, I pray these young men, these young women back into the kingdom of God in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray your angel protection over them. Keep them in all their ways that no evil befalls them. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Lord, I pray for Gideons, God, to rise up out of the hiding and speak the truth in love in Jesus' name. I pray for remnants at their jobs. Lord, I speak divine appointments of people that will come across their path at gas stations. Lord, at parts stores, at Walmart, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that people would be bold and prophesy into their life. Speak the truth in love in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you, Lord, that the word, I pray for these moms and dads right now, Lord. I pray that they would not just have words of affirmation, but they would have works of confirmation. Meaning, God, that they would not just say they trust in you, but Lord, that they would fully trust in you. They would not just say, but they would do. That they would be, as the book of James says, a doer of the word. And so, Lord, I pray for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That you guard their hearts, you guard their minds in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, I call these young men and women back to the kingdom of God. Oh, I pray with long life you will satisfy them and show them your salvation. I pray, Lord, that their steps would be ordered of the Lord and they would delight in that way in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, you not leave them, you not forsake them. Lord, I thank you for your anointing that's in this room. Lord, I pray that if wherever they are, if they're sitting on a couch somewhere, Lord, if they're in a bar somewhere, if they're in a jail room somewhere, I pray, God, that you would just begin to minister to them. Lord, take them back to that place where they had peace. Take them back to that place where they once loved you. And so, Lord, I just pray for a miracle to be done in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray for this hand. I pray that it's healed by the stripes of Jesus. You took her infirmities and you bore her sicknesses. I come against all pain, dissipate, die, and leave in Jesus' name. We don't put our trust in tramadol. We don't put our trust in Vicodin. Hallelujah. We put our trust in you tonight, Lord. And I just pray for healing in Jesus' mighty name. Healing to come forth. Come forth. Come forth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.